Hello, volunteer community. Shannon Taft here again with Courage in Action podcast series. Today we're talking with Michael Reisman about his involvement in Ukraine and the volunteer experience and what he has to offer here. So before we kind of get started, I'm just going to turn the mic over to him and let him introduce himself a little bit and give a little bit of his background.
Thank you so much, Shannon. I'm delighted and flattered, honored to be speaking with you today and to be speaking to the volunteer community. Just really briefly, I am a New York-based, currently a lawyer, but I used to be a psychotherapist and drama therapist, and also before that I was an actor. And so I'm here in Lviv this time for about 9 or 10 days. This is my third trip to Lviv since the full-scale Russian invasion.
Wonderful, wonderful. So I want to start out first off and say thank you for your volunteer efforts here. Greatly appreciated. What motivated you to come to Ukraine to support the war effort?
Yeah, so folks can't see it, but I'm wearing a World Central Kitchen T-shirt, which is very near and dear to me. So my when the full-scale invasion began, I was, emotionally very upset, to say the least. I followed the events intensely from New York, where I live. And like many other people, I thought, how the hell can I help this? What can I do? So I gave money to various causes. I tried to raise awareness in my community. There were some vigils. I live in a relatively small town, about an hour north of New York City. There was a We Support Ukraine vigil. But then I signed up to volunteer with World Central Kitchen in their kitchen and distribution facility in the Polish city of Przemysl, which is on the border with Ukraine, less than 2 hours from Lviv. So Przemysl is west of Lviv. So I spent an amazing week with World Central Kitchen. I really can't say enough positive things about the organization. We worked hard. So I was in the production kitchen that they had set up literally overnight in Przemysl to feed Ukrainians who were fleeing their country into Poland. I mean, probably most of them went through Przemysl. There were other points of entry in Poland or in Slovakia. Some went to Romania, but Przemysl was kind of the epicenter. So when I got there in early June of 2022, the kitchen had been up and running for a while. So, for 8 hours each day and all 7 days, I worked in the kitchen, preparing, making, packing sandwiches, chopping vegetables for the hot food that they would make. And then a few of the evenings, I served food at the train station, which is both the point of entry and point of departure for people coming to or going, leaving Ukraine or going back home. So it was altogether just an amazing experience. And I'll just tell one quick anecdote about that. So when I was there, probably more Ukrainians were going home than leaving. There were certainly people, who were still leaving Ukraine, in particular from the east, people who'd held on in their towns. And again, this is before the Ukrainian offensive of later that year. So people who had tried to hold on in their towns, but their houses were blown up and they were in really bad shape. So they were coming to Poland at that point, but more people were going back and nobody knew what was going to happen. But, like any human, these folks wanted to go home. Now it was almost entirely women and young children, right? There were no men going back. I mean, maybe some older men, but for maybe obvious reasons, the younger men weren't going back because they would have faced being drafted into the army at that point. But the volunteers, mostly Americans, but there were other folks from other countries, Canada, Australia, European countries. I think it's fair to say we bought every art supply and toy for children that we could find in the city of Przemysl, Poland. And we would just give them out. I mean, I'd probably spend a few $100 on just drawing materials and little toys, big toys. Because again, these women were returning to their country. They had been for maybe up to around three months in Poland, or maybe even in Germany, other countries. And Przemysl was the point of entry to their country. And so we were serving them food, really, really good food, and giving them, you know, takeout food, because they, you know, the ones going back to Kyiv, I mean, Lviv is a 2-hour train ride after you go through the hours of sort of customs and passport control. But then Lviv, Kyiv is another 10 hours. So it's a long trip. And so giving people good food, food that they were used to, like borscht, or even, you know, really nice, really good sandwiches, and then drawing materials for the kids. So, and you know, they had to wait for hours for the train to arrive. And this girl came up to me and gave me a drawing. Yeah, so I had given her pencils and paper, and I you know, we're serving people constantly, and I didn't even remember that I'd given her the pencil and paper. And so she gave it to me, this drawing she made as a gift. And you know, it was a house and trees and the sun, and it was a positive, really pleasant image that, you know, she was going home, and that's what she wanted to think of home as, this little drawing that she made, this scene of a nice house, right? And then she wrote in Ukrainian Cyrillic. So when I was with a Ukrainian person helping serve, and she translated for me, and it was it just said thank you from Sonia, and that was at about 11:30 at night. So I've been working for maybe 13 hours or more at that point. I just wanted to cry. Like that was the, like, I was just like, I really had to take a step back and catch my breath in that moment and recognize that, you know, I had helped her and she had helped me, because that inspired me to keep working.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thanks for sharing. That's a very touching story. And thank you again for your work there on the border. I want to ask what your impressions were of Lviv when you arrived. And I pick on Lviv, and I also know you've been here previously and many times. But specifically after the invasion, and you visited Ukraine for the first time after the invasion, what were your impressions of arriving here? And asking from the perspective of, I'm sure several international volunteers would love to come over for the first time, but they see, you know, their media stories and influences of the war in Ukraine, and perhaps project a certain image onto Lviv itself, or the whole country of Ukraine itself, and want to know how to navigate that mental image before coming to volunteer.
Yeah, so the first time I came to Lviv was after my week with World Central Kitchen in Przemysl. I did not tell my wife I was coming to Ukraine until I got back to Poland, because she worries, understandably. That first trip in mid-June of 2022, I was only able to come for a day because I actually was meeting my wife in Prague a few days after that. But I had spoken with some of the fellow WCK volunteers who had come to Lviv, and they said, oh, you should do it, it's great. And so I worked out a ride to the border, walked across the border through the checkpoints on the Polish and Ukrainian sides, and then had arranged a car from the Ukrainian side into Lviv. And I was traveling with two of my fellow volunteers. So, you know, we got to Lviv, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful day. I felt completely safe. I didn't know what to expect, right? I mean, I thought, well, you know, we're going to have bombs falling, or what the hell is going to be going on? But it was, you know, people. I guess I'll just give one image. That there's the beautiful opera house in Lviv, and there's a they call it Prospekt Svobody. It's like the Freedom Square in front of the opera house, and there are these jets of water that come out from the ground, and it was sunny, and there were kids playing in you know, it's like sprinklers, and the kids were, because it was pretty hot that day, and the kids were playing in the sprinklers, and it was just a very moving, peaceful image of these kids being kids and people having some moments of relaxation. And look, I understood that, I mean, the war was raging. I mean, Lviv is far from the front line, but later that day, we went to the cemetery. The main cemetery is called Lichikiv Cemetery. And there's an area called the Field of Mars, and that's where the soldiers from the current war are buried. And there was a funeral happening when we were there. It's a very, very big, very historic cemetery. I will say at that point, there was a relatively small number of graves. That has dramatically changed since almost 2 years ago. But I would say, I mentioned my wife, so you know, again, coming, I didn't know what to expect, but I felt completely safe, and I went, I returned that night to Pshemish. And by the way, my two colleagues, they went on. They were even more adventurous, way more than I was. They went to Kyiv overnight and then Odessa. One of them wanted to see the Odessa steps, which he thought he could just walk down, but they were closed by the military. But and then another one went off to Moldova. But I got back, you know, into Poland, and then I texted my wife. And I said, just got back from Ukraine, and you know, it was like 11 o'clock Polish time, like, you know, afternoon in New York, and she just wrote back, I think it was in all caps, "You were in Ukraine? !!" And I said, yeah, it was fine. And I sent her the picture of the kids dancing in the fountain, and she felt okay, but she was a little annoyed, but not too annoyed. But I think she recognized, I mean, I explained to her, you know, I felt safe, and you know, I had wanted to come to Lviv for a long time, so I was glad I had that opportunity.
Wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. Well, I hope she has greater peace of mind now for all the work you're doing here. Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about, and you've kind of hinted at some of these things, what does a typical day or week look like for you as a volunteer? If you're able to share, what spots do you help out at and volunteer at? And what does an agenda or routine look like for you?
Sure. Well, let me say, this is my third trip. So after the first one, just the day trip, I came back in November of last year, and I've been here now for almost a week. And so each of these trips will be about 10 days in total. In my November trip, I pretty much exclusively worked at Lviv Volunteer Kitchen, which is a great organization that makes vacuum-packed meals primarily for soldiers, for Ukrainian soldiers who do not get enough decent food. And that's just a very sad reality of the situation that hopefully will be helped by the congressional bill that is going to come up for a vote tonight in the House, and then we'll go to the Senate and the President, hopefully. But it's a very open organization that is run by Ukrainians, that has just a great group of international volunteers. I think it's one of the numerous opportunities for international volunteers that's just kind of entry level. There's not even a sign up. You just show up. Literally, you show up and you help. You chop vegetables, peeling carrots, and helping prepare meat. That is ultimately the vegetables and the meat is shredded, cooked, dehydrated, and then packaged into these packs that can feed six people. And they also go to some of the frontline communities, the folks that are like really just typically very much older people who are, you know, they don't want to leave their houses even though they're at risk. So, you know, the kitchen opens at 8 in the morning, and it's open generally until I think 6 or 7, and you set your own schedule. So I have tried to, on both of my trips, work at least 5 hours there, which is, it gives you the opportunity to really feel like you're making a difference. You're helping to create these meals. you're interacting with the Ukrainian people, maybe learning a few Ukrainian words. And certainly they are so appreciative. They are honestly like they are, and that's maybe gets to the reason why I have come back, just to offer my support, but in a concrete way. And people really, really do appreciate it. And the other thing is they serve you lunch, and it's just tremendous food. And they really take pride in. They're not giving you the vacuum pack meals, which I'm sure are good, but they're giving you kasha and you know different types of bread, and they keep asking if you want more and more and more. I mean, it's very I think it's a very good introduction to the culture to work in that setting. And some people help package the meals, and so you know. On this trip, I've tried every day to work at least a few hours there. Another thing I've done on this trip, I did yesterday for the first time actually, is helping to weave camouflage netting, which is one of the activities that Ukrainian and international volunteers do. And quite simply, it's to create this material that is used to camouflage soldiers and their equipment, which is really desperately needed because, of course, the war today is so much dominated by drones, and so the camouflage netting can help save soldiers' lives from drone attacks. The other thing I'm doing on this trip, I'll just say briefly, is I am doing workshops in drama therapy, which is a former profession of mine. I mentioned a few minutes ago that I used to teach a lot of workshops on this. I lived in the Czech Republic previously for 4 years. And so I felt like this is another area in which I can give back. And I connected to a Ukrainian psychologist who set up a series of workshops that I led with Ukrainian clinicians, psychologists, as well as students at the main university and also the medical college. So I've balanced all of that. You know, the other day I chopped potatoes for 2 hours in the morning, and then I led a workshop in the afternoon, had dinner, and had a short workshop in the evening. So I've been pretty busy while I've been here on this trip.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And the kitchen, the Lviv Volunteer Kitchen, was somewhere I first came to as well when I came to Lviv, and agree with you there. It's a great place to get introduced to the culture. I remember talking about lunch that they feed you there. It was my first exposure to Ukrainian food and cuisine, to be honest, in my life. And the Ukrainian lady there who cooks for everybody, every meal she made was amazing. So every time I would eat, I like to do amateur chef cooking at home. I was in my mind, I have to reverse engineer this and figure out how to cook this at home. It was amazing food. So agree with you there. I'd like to actually, if you want to, I want to ask a little bit more about the drama improvisation you do in therapy as well. And if you kind of share more high level what's entailed with that and the impact that has in the communities that you're helping.
Yeah, it's basically using improvisational theater techniques as a form of therapy. And this I have my degree in this field, and I worked for 10 years in the U.S., first in California, then in New York, where I grew up, and then for 4 years in the Czech Republic. So it's a way of helping people express themselves and interact with other people, work on their interpersonal skills. I think, the goals might be a little bit different for certain populations. I worked a lot with chronic psychiatric patients, and the goals for those folks, it's really just, it's more basic in terms of interaction with others, working on some flexibility, both physically as well as in interacting with others. For higher functioning people like the folks that I was doing the workshops with this week, I'm trying to teach them about the technique. You know, some of them are psychologists, some of them are, like I said, are medical students. So it's just giving them a little taste of the technique. And to, I think for them, you know, I'm teaching them this technique, so just for their professional information. But there is a therapeutic aspect for them as people, because certainly I recognize this is a country at war. The war is very traumatic for people, for some people very directly. and certainly even in Lviv, because there are missile attacks, drone attacks. There are people here who are. I had a translator the other day, who her boyfriend was actually in one of the sessions. He did not actively participate, but he observed, and he is a soldier, and he was actually in uniform. He's on leave, and he's had some issues as a soldier with some of the things he's experienced. I mean, my understanding is it may be post-traumatic stress disorder, but it's just a way to release emotions and maybe certainly relaxation is an important part of it. What really struck me about the work here in all of those sessions is I didn't have to force people to get into heavy emotions. There's an example I can give of an exercise where this work begins. It is with sound and movement. Very simply, make a movement and then add a sound. And so the sound, and hopefully I won't blow the mic, it's just kind of a sound with waving the arms gently. So probably for folks that are not in war zones, that might be a very pleasant sound, like the sound of leaves rustling, trees, leaves rustling, or the sound of waves on the seashore, or something very pleasant. But for any Ukrainian, or frankly anybody in this country who's been here for more than a little while, it evokes the sound of missiles and drones, and so that came very quickly. But each session more or less evolved into folks wanting something very peaceful, wanting to be at a beach. With some of the psychology students, they actually wanted to go to Crimea, like in this play. So it's all playful, imaginative. They wanted to go to the beach in Crimea, and so that's what we did. We went to the beach in Crimea, and people found seashells. There were some landmines, but we protect each other from the landmines. So there's a recognition of the realities of war and what's happening. And then in the end of actually most of the sessions, each person in the session was able to take an object, an imaginative object, and transform it into something. And people got to express their wishes. Some people wished for peace. They wished for the war to be over. That was a very prevalent theme. Other people wished for, missiles to kill the enemy. Certainly understandable. But the importance of it was that we had in this group setting, each person could express themselves using this imaginative technique, however they wanted. And it was like a release. I mean, it was just a way for them to do it in a way that was safe. And it was more than, they were using words, but it was more than just words, because we had gone through this, sound and movement experience together that evolved into these images.
Awesome, thank you for that. Very great description of what you do there. Sounds very interesting. I want to ask, and I realize you're pretty well traveled, and this isn't your first rodeo, to borrow the expression, but for, once again, thinking of volunteers who haven't traveled before and honestly want to consider volunteering in a war zone, and this would be a first experience for them, what are some of the challenges that you've faced in traveling, particularly in Ukraine? How have you navigated those challenges? And then related to that, how do you maintain your mental health and sanity while volunteering over here in a foreign country?
Yeah, I would say, it's funny, even though I feel like I am well-traveled, when I first came, went to Poland 2 years ago, and then on my trips here in the last 6 or 7 months, I have felt like a novice. Like I'm navigating something that I haven't experienced before. Certainly coming for a period of 10 days at a time. And I mean, doing research obviously is important. There are, whether it's through X or connecting with an organization like the IVC is important, getting some ideas about the travel. And, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's not the easiest travel in to get here. It's not the hardest either. You just have to plan it out. I left New York, for example. I left New York a week ago. Today is Saturday, so a week ago Friday, eight days ago, I left New York in the evening and flew. I had to change planes in London, flew to London, London to Krakow in Poland, then trained from the airport into the city, and then a bus from Krakow to Lviv, which ultimately took 8 or 9 hours because there was a border cross. We had to stop for 3 hours on the Polish side. There are issues with, you know, just delays. And so, I mean, I had done this once before in last November, but, you know, each time it's like, you know, I'm figuring it out and trying to deal with it. And so I arrived in Lviv Sunday morning at, 9 o'clock in the morning, and I hadn't slept really since Thursday night. I'd got a little sleep on the plane, then I took an overnight bus, and, you know, I just prepared myself for it. I drank lots of water. I had my wife, and I did tell her about the last two trips, so don't worry about that. She knows. She said, okay, just text me every day, and I've done that more. I've texted her a lot, but she gave me a whole bunch of energy bars, and so I've actually finally got through the last one last night. But I think just doing some research. I mean, there are there is a consensus that arriving by train is easier because you don't have the variable of the road crossing, which can create delays. But the timing has to be right. And for me coming here on the last two trips, it was just easier to come by bus. And I also know some folks who have had good experiences getting here by bus from Krakow. I did the last time was a little bit easier than this time. And I wouldn't say it was hard. It's just you have to be prepared, do some research, and plan out that it's going to take a day and a half really to get here. And depending on who you are, you might need a day of rest before you start engaging in activity. But for me, I took a 2-hour power nap, and then I was ready to go.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Just to kind of wrap up here, I want to open it up to you and simply ask, what message, what else would you like to convey to, once again, future volunteers that want to come over here and help out? What would you tell them? They're on the fence. They're almost ready to buy that plane ticket and come over here and do what you're doing and so many other people. What message would you share with them?
Do it. Just please come. I want to give one other quick story. So the other day I was walking to meet my psychologist contact to start a day of these workshops that I've done. And an older Ukrainian man stopped me and started speaking to me in Ukrainian. And I thought, you know, it's like, I'm a New Yorker, and I'm like, oh, and here I'm in Lviv, and this guy's gonna hit me up for money. And I said, "Не розумію." I know how to say, I don't understand in Ukrainian. And I thought, okay, I'm just gonna move on, he's gonna move on. But then he said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "I'm from the United States." And then I thought, okay, now I'm gonna really move on. And the next thing he said was, "Thank you." He said, "Thank you for your support." And I'm getting emotional now. I got emotional in that moment because it was, you know, like I did not expect that. And people here really, really appreciate the support. There is certainly money and governments, whether it's the United States or other governments, is very helpful. But there is nothing like being present and interacting with people and showing the Ukrainian people, whatever country you're from, that you care enough to be here, and you can do it. And it's, you know, the Lviv Volunteer Kitchen, other places like the camo netting. I have never camo netted before. The lady who runs it was, very patient with me, and I wasn't doing it right. And she just, oh, do it this way, not that way. So people, and it's like that in the kitchen as well. It's like, you're cutting them too small. Cut them bigger, too small. I think people appreciate the presence. So it's like entry level stuff, like you can do it. But also I would say if you have certain skills, you might be able to apply them here. Now, maybe not the first trip, because you're going to get here. If you haven't been here before, it's going to take you some time to adjust. But still, you might have a skill, whether it's tech or for me, it's the drama therapy experience. Or you might have a construction experience. There's a guy who helped build out the new kitchen for Le Vivanteur Kitchen. Certainly, as the summer months come around, there's more need for folks to help with construction or small construction projects. And I know lots of volunteers have done that, not just in Lviv, but around the country. So you can do it. You can bring no skills. You can bring some skills. It's all really appreciated. I would just say, Shannon, for your last question about taking care of yourself, that's really important. Mm-hmm. Walking a lot, you're going to walk a lot in Lviv. I mean, there's public transportation, but you're going to walk a lot, which is very helpful. I've been running here. I run 4 miles every other day normally. My knees don't like it so much, but it's also a way to get to know the city a little bit. And there's a great park very close to the center. It's wonderful to run around, Ivan Franko Park. But take care of yourself. There's a great international community. People like to, there's a WhatsApp group, and there are various WhatsApp groups, but there's a dinner planning. Folks are very friendly, whatever country you're from. People make dinner plans, go out, unwind, then go to a bar afterwards. But I would also just say, the social aspect is really important, but moderation is also very important. And finally, this is obvious, but understanding that you're in someone else's country and you have to act respectfully towards folks and respect them, not get totally crazy when you've had a little bit too much to drink. There's a curfew at midnight, so you have a real definite time where you have to get off the streets. Which is probably good for some people that set that boundary. But I would say, find time, just to unwind when you're here, and also do a little bit of sightseeing. I mean, there are some great, certainly the churches in Lviv and around Ukraine are beautiful. Going into churches, they're just open generally during the day. And I like to do that just for a few minutes and step in and just sit down. And I'm not Catholic, but it's a really helpful thing for me to do, just to kind of have some calm and go into these beautiful churches and sit for a few minutes.
Wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. I really appreciate you taking the time to interview. To everyone listening here, I'd just like to reiterate Michael's message: just do it. And that seems to be a consistent answer I get from the people I've interviewed. Just come over here and do it, and these volunteer opportunities will open themselves up to you in taking that first step. And as Michael shared, he's gotten a thank you from an 8-year-old girl all the way up to an elderly gentleman walking the street. So they're very appreciative of your help. Follow us on International Volunteer Center to really get connected and figure out how we can help you volunteer in person over here. Once again, Michael, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Shannon.